You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hey, my kins and dreads. Welcome to The Osiris Munir Show. You know what? I found out, you guys, the lighting issue is an internal problem with the computer, so I have to do something for that, but I think you can see me okay, which is fine. I'm going to turn off this light over here. So it's a little bit brighter. And you know what, too, you guys? I added a light up in my ceiling that may have something to do with it. But at least you can see my face, even though it's not as crisp as I would like for it to be. So let's get on. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He's a sweetie, very, very nice human being. So not just adept at doing real estate, but just a nice person. And that's what we want these days. We want people that are kind-hearted. So I'm not going to talk too much. I wanted to give a shout out to Zoe Zaldana, who I love. Huge, huge, huge fan. Her award, her Oscar couldn't come at a better time. I really love that she seems to be very grounded to me. And I like that she teases versus giving everyone everything at once. And we have a little bit of what to look forward to. So I have a very, very, very special guest on the show today. She is a multidisciplinary artist whose work explores love, identity, perseverance, and the human experience through poetry and the spoken word. Yeah. Duchess County Poet Laureate, and I'll have her explain that to you. Emma Riddison, the author of Be the Poem, Living Beyond Our Fears. She is a recognized nationally for her appearances, her keynote talks, what she does with poetry and the spoken word, how she blends those things together to help with storytelling, personal growth, all of that is in there. And she is the co-host of the iHeart Radio show, Finding Out with Pete and the Poet Gold, as well as an author of her book called Be the Poem and Living Beyond Our Fears, as I said. Let's welcome to our set, Poet Gold, yay! Look at her little golden face, you guys.
Hey, Osiris.
Is that why they call you Poet Gold? Because number one, you're rich in spirit and heart. That's golden. And then you have a little golden aura about your face. So I love that. Welcome to the set. So let's get right into it.
Well, thank you. Thank you first for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and have a conversation with you. So I'll turn it over to you.
So first of all, before I forget this, I want to give a shout out to the art. I get it mixed up, you guys. Forgive me. Art Group International. It is curated by Bibiana Huang Mateas, which is how I met Poet Gold. Yes. So I want to say that because I would not know her were it not for Bibiana. And then eventually I became a part of the group. So they travel and represent different artists. And I'm one of those artists. And I'm very happy that I was able to share. They were able to share gold with me. So let's get right into it. How did you become, and explain to people what a Dutchess County Poet Laureate Emeritus is?
Well, basically, I'm a former poet laureate of Dutchess County. I was appointed in, I think, 2017, and then reappointed in 2018. And if you just look at the word laureate in itself, it's a Latin word that comes from gloria, which basically means you're honored, you're celebrated for achieving the highest level of any particular field, from the arts to the sciences. So you can have a math laureate, but it's known, you know, for poetry as well. And it comes out of the, do you know the wreaths in the Greek world?
Yes. That would have, and they wear that thing around their head.
A crown. Well, it's actually historically connected to that, because they would award the wreath to individuals in order to honor them.
That's interesting.
So poet laureate in that tradition is a person who's honored for being excellent, for achieving excellence in poetry. And everyone, you know, wears their title differently. But basically, I look at it as a way to serve through poetry. And that's why often my work is about service. It's about helping people find their identity, helping people find their voice, and using poetry as a healing factor, using poetry as a way to speak up for yourself, you know, in a way that can be received. I call it the sugar in the medicine.
The what?
The sugar in the medicine.
The sugar.
You know, like back in the day, my parents, if the medicine, the cough syrup tastes nasty, they used to pour a little sugar
the
in
sugar.
It.
Uh-huh.
Right, right. So poetry is the way to make you address things that may be uncomfortable for you, but the way it's presented to you may be more palatable.
Mm-hmm. I love now, not everyone takes the road of poetry. Some people, they like poetry, poems, rhymes, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they don't become a poet, and they don't become any or have anything to do with spoken word. Why did you choose, and what in your life gave you the strength and the courage to go out and start doing spoken word? Spoken word is a heavy, heavy responsibility. Because you have to, in my opinion, from hearing spoken word, you mm-hmm. have to interact, you have to enlighten, raise up vibration, and then explain to people what they're feeling and how to present that in a way that is palatable. So what happened to you for you to want to be a spoken artist? How long have you been doing it? And those kind of things.
Well, I started as a lyricist and a songwriter years ago when I was a kid coming up. I loved writing. Lyrics and songs, but I was always fascinated with the word because I felt that if you could master the word, you could master the heart.
Hmm.
You can communicate effectively with people, particularly when going through something adverse. It's about reaching and connecting with people. And I used it actually as a tool as a kid not to have fights. You know, let mm-hmm. me speak to your heart versus putting up my fist.
Mm-hmm.
Because physically fighting made no sense to me whatsoever. I couldn't figure out why people wanted to do that. You know, I don't want to scratch up my pretty face, you know? I don't want to scratch your face. And it just made no sense to me. So I learned very early on, living in the hood, the power of the word. You know, let me connect. And then as I grew, even when I had my band, I would always, you know, stop the band at one point and say, hey, I just want to share something. You know, I just want to speak to people, whether it was rhyming poetically, you know, whether it's just speaking. And I felt a calling to that. So I don't, when you speak about choice, as an artist, for me, I was called to be an artist.
Uh-huh.
So I've worked in corporate America and I've, you know, worked in the professional space. I've always used those skills that I learned to enhance my art and to push my art forward, you know, from a business perspective, because when you decide to do it as a career, you're in business for yourself. I like to say you're an artistpreneur.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, you know, so you take the skill sets that you learn in other places. And for me, how do I build my art business? And my art business circled around words, even as a songwriter, a lyricist, it still circled at the end of the day around a message that I felt I was called to do. And so I didn't choose the calling. I should say I surrendered to it. You know?
Okay.
I used to write other stuff, you know, the booty shaking, you know, that's just getting
all of that.
You know, all of that. I write a diversity of things but it always came back to, no, you're supposed to use your voice for this. And so I fought for a minute internally within myself, sort of that traditional commercial path versus how do I serve through my poetry?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's gotten me here. And once I wrestled with my soul in that and surrendered to what I was supposed to be doing in life, the world opened up.
Yes. As soon as you align yourself with your purpose, then it does open up. I understand that experience very well. I want to know, when you go out and you do your keynote talks and everything, do you talk and do the spoken word, or you just talk and incorporate spoken word, or a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. Oftentimes when people have me come in, it depends. If they want a performance, then they're going to get the spoken word performance and reading. And in between, I may give the message. You know, I will give the message of the things that I believe in. And it doesn't mean that I'm trying to persuade you to believe in. I'm just letting you know what I've learned along the way in my life. And if you look at it as a nugget for yourself, take it and run with it. You know, no different than those aha moments that we have when we're sharing amongst friends, families, or even strangers, and someone says something or you see something and you go, oh, wow, I connect with that. And then we evolve from that moment. We in essence become a little bit of a different person, because every interaction changes us, you know, in a very molecular way. And so molecular way, it changes us. And so who we were the second or 15 minutes before, based upon our experiences, are not who we are going to be in the next step. So I will do a performance and share at the same time the message. And sometimes I do it with a band. The tour, Be the Poem, Living Beyond Our Fears, is with the band. The musical aspect of it is with a full band with beautiful musicians that are renowned and played with other people and artists around the country and around the world. And so I'm very blessed and fortunate to be in the company of them and have support of my journey as an artist.
So you kind of kept the music background in there by using them. I don't really know any spoken word artists that use live bands. The rappers use live bands. Mm-hmm. Some of them use live bands. Pharcyde, I think, is a lot of rappers back from the day, not rap, but hip hop. And then it turned into rap and it became a solo thing. And then they started this and that. But that is a good way that you've incorporated. Now, I know a little bit that you're a feeling person and that you care about people. And that when you do your spoken word, you emote your emotion. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is, what inspires you to sit down and internally go in there, come up and out with these beautiful pieces that seem to talk by themselves? When you do the words, you can almost, like those screens, you can see the word on the screen, even though the word's not there. What inspires you to do that, and how long does it take you to do a piece?
I've written pieces where it's taken me 5 minutes. I've written pieces where it takes me 15 minutes, you know, and then I've written pieces that take me days. So it just depends upon how the piece comes. I'm an artist that doesn't believe in writer's block.
Uh-huh.
I just say, you're not writing right now.
Okay.
And so I don't really go into a panic. I just do something else. You know, do something else until it comes to me. One of the most inspiring compliments that I've gotten on the tour, the woman came to me and said, if Gil Scott-Heron and Nikki Giovanni had a child, it would have been. And I thought to myself, wow, because I love them both. You know, Gil Scott-Heron, you know, had the music and the message. And Nikki Giovanni, come on, you know, totally.
Is she still alive?
No.
And if she did pass, it was very recent.
Yes, it was.
Because I saw her on something last year, I think, early in the year, whatever, but she did pass away. I didn't even know she was still alive until I saw her on some YouTube thing or whatever. And this is why I get a little bit perturbed that we don't hold these people up like, you know, oh yeah, everybody's over on, it's almost like you have one leg and you only deal with that one leg because the other leg is gone. And so a lot of people have gone into hip hop rap, but they forget the spoken word artist.
Right.
And spoken word are the artists in the genre that is, in my opinion, springing up from beneath the earth. You know, because they were kind of hidden and now it's coming more out thanks to you and other spoken word artists.
But there's a There's a ton of talented, hundreds of talented spoken word artists across the country. I mean, in San Diego, you have Rudy Francisco. You know, he's become renowned and gets a lot of accolades and press and exposure. I just like to see more space for a spoken word artist. We have Jay Ivey, who won the Grammy.
That's right.
You know, and so that was wonderful that is taking place. And so there's a number of, we're out here, you know, doing the good work, as I said, doing the good work.
So when you're writing your pieces, and I know you said, you talk about literacy, personal growth, mm-hmm. and you put all of that into this body of work. When you are presenting and people come up to you and talk to you afterwards, what do they say to you? Do they say, you helped me through this, you helped me through that, I want to be a spoken word artist? What are some of the conversations that you have with your audience around that?
Some people approach me and they're crying. I think that was for me initially, once I began to really embrace my journey as a performance artist, spoken word artist, particularly in the lane of poetry, when people approached me and they were crying and we would just hold for a minute, that connection, that I see you, because a lot of my poems are about other people's lives. It's giving, you know, how is this person feeling? I want the world to know the interactions and how our individual actions are impacting someone else. And maybe we're not aware of it. Maybe we don't want to be accountable for it. Mm-hmm. So my work, particularly this tour, speaks to, one, accountability, two, recognizing your own individual fear, and understanding that fear is very primal. You know, my belief is that fear is the driving engine of it all, not love. Fear blocks us from the love that we can become. Fear blocks us from the spiritual evolution. And it's always on. You know, it's always on in that primal space of our brain. It never stopped, you know, from back in the Neanderthal age. And human beings, we have a unique, and this is just really my beliefs, but I think that we're in a unique space to evolve spiritually, and we're just scratching the surface. Mm. We stop because of our fears. Mm-hmm. You know, we dress ourselves in the morning to become something other than what we may really see in the mirror. And I only ask people to take that moment. You don't have to put yourself on blast, but acknowledge that you're afraid of something, whatever it is. And how does that fear impact your daily interaction with other human beings? Because it creates a butterfly effect, and we're all going through it. All going through it. And I think that if we address some of those things on an individual basis and become more conscious of it, then it impacts our socio-emotional behavior as we interact. Mm-hmm. And so it's so that we can get the love, so that you can experience the joy, and you can be in that space and be intentional, you know, about our lives versus being mean because we're afraid. Mm-hmm. We don't want nobody to know. You know, we don't
want projecting the fear onto others, you think?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. We are where we are today because of that, you know, because of the scarcity, you know, which may be real or unreal, because of, you know, people feel that they're being replaced. That's deep. That's really deep. You know, when you feel that you are being replaced, even on a level of an individual relationship, when you feel you're being replaced, you become afraid. Now let's take a whole group of people who are walking around feeling like we're being replaced, we're being replaced, we're being, and that's on loop. Being replaced, we're being replaced. Oh, I think I got a poem coming on. I hear it. We're being replaced, we're being replaced. We're being replaced. You hear that? I hear it.
I hear it.
You know, so when you are living in that space, that's a very frightened space. Mm-hmm. How do you connect with joy or love in that space? How do you get to authentic love or authentic joy when you're in that very frightened space? I believe you don't until you can acknowledge that space and then begin to do the work, because it's more than saying, yes, this is where I am, but it's about doing the work. It's about being accountable for it. And so, you know, so my poems speak to identity. My poems speak to hope, they speak to love, they speak to the human connection and working through that. I know what it's like to be really frightened to death. You know, I woke up one morning and couldn't walk and my world changed.
What happened?
It changed. I have an immune issue that attacks the soft tissues of my body. It attacks my bones and it wreaks havoc. And so, when I got ready to go off to college, you know, it changed my life. It just changed. My life became different for the next 20 years. I had 13 surgeries, and so that I can at least, you know, walk. But since then, it's a different world. It's not the world necessarily that I had planned from a physical standpoint, but I was always born an artist. And so I fought tooth and nail within my fears to hold on to the love that I was given in this world with life and breath, to hold on to that, to recognize that this is no one else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Angry with the world because of your set of circumstances. You know, and I began identifying behaviors that I didn't want, that were unbecoming. I would find things in other people and go, I don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to be the angry disabled person, so to speak.
Angry woman.
You know, mm-hmm. Right? I don't want to be that. And when you're a child, it just gave me a certain level of awareness, and I recognize that, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it because it's built into. How I love, it's built into my friendships, it's built into giving people grace, you know, and understanding that we're all holding something.
Feel that these experiences, especially physical experiences, deepen your craft? They, you know how people say, oh yeah, I went through this bad experience and then I got deep, or it transformed me into this beautiful thing you see now. Do you feel that way? Like these things, rather than looking at them as sufferings, you look at them as kind of like friends. They're helping me grow. They're transforming me. How do you feel about that?
And yes and no, because not everybody gets that, you know, not everybody. There's a story I used to tell. I was very young, and there was an older woman in the bed next to me in the hospital, and she threw her tray down. Long story short, she threw her tray, the lunch tray, because neither one of us could at the time feed ourselves. We needed assistance through the nursing staff. She felt the staff was taking too long, so she threw her tray. The food went all over the place, and I asked her, "Why do you do that?" You know, and she's like, "They should know. They should know, and I wish that they could have this disease for a day." And I was like, no, you don't want to wish this on anybody, you know? And I was maybe about 20 years old, 19, somewhere.
Young, yeah.
But I immediately said, and I prayed that night. I prayed and I cried because I said, I don't want to be like that. And she was a sweet lady, though, you know, because she felt that she was demonstrating to me. She said, "You're going to suffer the rest of your life. Basically, you're going to be miserable." And I just said, "Lord, I don't want to be like that. because my childhood was always so enriching. You know, mm-hmm. I had friends, great exposure to things through my parents and great schooling, you know, and so I just didn't want to come out of that space, but I recognized that I was going to have to fight for that space, mm-hmm. fight for that space, you know.
Let's talk about your book, Be the Poem, Living Beyond Our Fears.
Yeah.
What inspired that book? I have not read the book, mm-hmm. but what has inspired it? It is a collection of spoken word.
Is it?
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
What is it, a collection of your spoken word, or is it a book about why you do spoken word, or how does it fit?
It's a little bit of both. It's prose, it's stories, it's spoken word. Poem, just in short, Be the Poem was written for one of the graduating classes of a college called Dutchess Community College, which is a local college where I live. And it's nicknamed the Ivy League of Community Colleges. And they invited me, when I became poet laureate, to send a message to the particular graduating class. And Be the Poem was it. You know, it literally came to me about 2 days before, maybe even the night before a couple of days before, because I had to send it to the school for approval. But it came to me a couple of days before the day of graduation. But when I looked at what did I want the students to part with, and Be the Poem really resonated with my life and my journey. You know, it's almost someone saying, give me a little wisdom. Yeah, students, give me a little wisdom. What can I take with me? And so that's what Be the Poem is. It's this is what I've gotten so far, and I'm going to share it with you. So that
I would like for you.
Oh, you want me to share it? Literally, I was just saying.
That's what I was going to say. I would like for you to share a little bit of us with the audience, and we would love to hear that.
No doubt, I have a bias. I'm going to ask of you to be poetry, to be the poems in your life, to be that which moves you, stirs you, like a lover's first kiss, compelling you to believe that you are now superhuman, pumping with adrenaline, capable of conquering anything. Be the poem. Imagine sunsets with orange hues across the sky. When the stars ascend, the blanket, the night, when things go dark, be the light in your life. Be the poem. Be the poem that teaches, reaches, circles the universe through quatrains, sonnets, prose, and free verse. Let it be Mozart to a hip-hop beat, ballet performed on blacktop and concrete. Let it be imaginative, soulful, eloquently stated, and unique. Be the poem. Be the poem that chooses to be fearless, never imprisons the heart, beckons the soul to rain tears when you're falling apart. Be the poem that heals and learns to forgive, releasing thunderous anger and hate so you may truly live. And if there comes a day you should fall ill, know that cure may not come in the form of a pill, but in the lines of poetry that will be more than a prayer, it will shout hallelujah. Your salvation will be there. Be the poem. Be the poem that breathes the breath to dream out loud. Discover the wonders residing above the clouds. For Helios's chariot brings hope with each day. The time is now to make life your way. Board your ships, set sail to sea. Be brave, my friends. Be the poem in your life. May your life be poetry. That's it.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Yay. I want to ask you, where were you in your life when you wrote that book? What was happening in your life when you wrote that book? Because I can feel it. I can feel it from the words you sang and from the way you read it and how it flowed. What was going on?
I felt I was coming into my calling. That everything, the whole journey, had led me to this space. Mm. where now I'm a poet laureate, and I wasn't trying to be aspire to a poet laureate, you know? I was just doing my thing, you know, and some things just happened to fall into place. And now I could, in this space of being poet laureate, now I can take the many years of things I've held into my heart, and I've given a doorway to now give it to the world. And wow. So that's what was in that. That no matter what you're faced with, lean in to your heart, lean into your life, hold steadfast, and it will open up. Everything you need, we already have. We just need to get out of our own way.
I know, and everyone says that. And even though it sounds easy, it is truly a lifelong process.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And Be the Poem is that, you know, it was that acknowledgement that, yes, you had to become this. You needed to move stuff out the way, stuff internally, stuff externally. You are where you are now because you have surrendered and you have done the work, and you will continue to do the work. But the difference is you see it.
You're aware of it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You are awake.
Awaken.
And you've chosen to stay that way and hopefully do the critical thinking that you need to do to stay on the path that chosen for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know, are there any more poets in your family? Did someone in your family inspire you? Are you the first of your kind in that generation to do this? Answer that.
That's a great question. I'm surrounded my family by a lot of visual artists.
Oh. Ooh.
That's why I love you guys. You know? That's why I've been in the visual arts space. You know, I'm sitting now in one of my dearest friends' gallery here.
I could tell. I'm like, they got a lot of art on the wall.
art on the wall, right? Right.
Yeah.
Karina is a great artivist, you know, as well, and who does great work here. And she owns a gallery by the name of Conveyor. And because my computer crashed, I immediately called her up. I need this interview to do. Can you help me out? And so I don't know if you can see on the, no, you can't see, but I'm actually.
I saw, and I was trying to figure it out. It was a dress that she opened up and hung over a window, or was it a curtain?
No, actually, it's a puppet. Named
it's Phoenix. A what?
It's a puppet. Puppet.
A puppet?
Yes, yes. Yeah. How high is it? How tall is it?
7 feet tall.
9 feet.
Oh, tall. We didn't see the top of it.
Yes, that's Sakrina.
That is so cool.
Themis is the goddess of justice.
Blind justice.
Blind, mm-hmm. Right? The goddess of blind justice. And we used Themis in a collaborative piece called Say Their Names that we did when George Floyd was murdered.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
And we had great exposure with it, great opportunity. With it, we opened up for his film. What was the film? I'm going.
Take
blank.
Your time. It's okay.
Questlove's film. He won an Oscar for it.
Everyone, what film? Who won an Oscar for it? She can't think of the film.
Questlove.
Be Like Water or something?
No.
It's the concert in Harlem.
Yeah, it's about the big concert in Harlem.
Summer of something.
I'm sorry, Quest. You know, but we were able to.
Summer of Soul.
Summer of Soul. Yeah. Okay, I saw that too. It was nice.
Great, great, great film. If you haven't seen a documentary, you need to see it. But a few years back, we were invited to do Summer Stage when they were premiering it in New York City for Summer Stage here in New York. And so we opened up, we would say their names, and then they showed the film.
A different thing.
Yeah. So, but that's what I'm sitting in front of.
Wow. This is what's interesting about art, because nobody saw the head. This is me. I'm like, wow, those are some really interesting curtains. She has it like a woman's back or something. You see how people can make their own interpretation?
Absolutely.
And then when you say, I'm like, where's the head? And then it's like that tall. I'm like, oh my gosh. Let's talk about, how did you get in touch with iHeartRadio, or how did you partner with them to do your show, Talking with Pete and the Poet Goat, on iHeartRadio?
My dear friend, Peter Leonard, I have a nonprofit background. I'm a board president of a nonprofit that I used to actually be an administrator for some years back. So Peter Leonard actually invited me to the show. It was his show.
Okay.
And his co-host had passed away. And okay. I came onto the show I don't know if I was talking about the nonprofit that I'm associated with, Real Skills Network, or if I came on the show just to talk about Poet Goat. But at the end of the show, he said to me, well, you know, he was looking, I guess, for someone to fill in for his prior partner. And so he invited me. He said, you know, would you consider being a co-host here? And he goes, I think that it would expand the show and bring in a different demographic. And so I considered it and said yes. And we've been together, I think, for like 6 or 7 years now.
Oh, wow. What a gift. I mean, what a gift to come together like that, and then it works.
Right, and then it works.
And
it works, and the iHeart family here has been very very opening, very kind, very supportive. I do another event now called Women Lead Duchess. Poet Gold knows Women Lead Duchess, because I began to realize that there are a lot of women leaders in Dutchess County and the surrounding areas. And so we approached them to see if we can do this event at the start of Women's Month. So for the last 3 years, this will be our third year of it. And I invite some women leaders of nonprofits, in the government world, in just women leaders, period. You know, you can be a professional women's leader. And I invite you onto to iHeart and give a wonderful luncheon and do a workshop. This workshop is, I think last year I did Joy and Fear. I think I'm going to revisit that. And build it around the book, How Do We Become the Poem, in our workspaces and in our community. And one of the reasons why I do it is because we're human first. We're not red and blue, whatever the colors are, you know. We're not Republican, Democrat, you know.
It's all learned behavior, yeah.
We're not black, white, this, that, and the other thing. We are human first.
Yes.
So let's start there. Let me say thank you to you as a woman, to other women, because I think I have a pretty good idea of what you're trying to navigate in this construct and these systems that we were born into. But let's remember that we are human first.
Yes.
And let's communicate from that basis, and then learn how to grab yourself when the construct, the systems, divide you. Because when we were that baby and we didn't know about systems, we operated from a space of love and not fear. And then we learned fear, right?
They're learned behaviors.
The constructs and the systems we were placed in, or from parents who were placed in systems. And they said, you know, no, you don't want to hang out with those people, or you don't want to go around the corner, you know, you don't want to buy this food, or you don't want to, you know, proceed to buy, you don't want to, or I don't want you. Systems, constructs. And so that have served to divide and separate and not build connections. Sold on connections sometimes, but it's not designed for connection. If I need to control you on some level, if I need to have you follow me on some level, I need to, you know, I need a system.
Yes.
I need a system. We can't everybody be out there thinking for themselves. You know.
Now, out of all the rappers, hip hop artists that you've ever heard of or known of, which one to you would come closest to be if they didn't want to rap anymore, that they would be a spoken word artist? They could easily make the transition. They could go from, I mean, I've got somebody in my head that I'm asking you, but I want to know what you think, or do you think or feel that is an easy transition for someone to go from being a hip hop artist to a spoken word artist? Can they do both of them? Do they go, can they fit? Can they work together? What do you feel about
that? Well, I mean, it's all poetry. It's all poetry. And there's some real great poets in hip hop. You know, some real great griots and storytellers in hip hop. And so what you're really talking about is cadence, rhythm. How is it delivered? How do you know, the spoken word artist may elongate the story. You know, the hip hop art is appending rhythm, you know. So
yes.
I need to get to the point. But I can still be metaphorically flowery, you know, with it, you know, as
say that again, your camera froze for a minute. Say that again. Say that again, it froze for a moment.
No, what part did it freeze? I was talking about rhythm and cadence. You know, so you know, the hip hop artists, they have a quicker rhythm, whereas the word artist is telling the story, the griot. We're sitting maybe by the campfire, and we're painting the picture. You know, and the hip hop artist, we come in and then come in and got the drum, and you know,
that's the music, and the rhythm, and the girls, the boys.
Go. You know, so you know, Kendrick Lamar is a great storyteller in his
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, in his work.
And that's why he's an Oscar winner and a this winner and a Grammy winner. And he's winning everything because he's one of the few. I like that he. I'm trying to think if I understand young people. I love young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I get them. I get the rebellion. I was like that. And I'm still kind of like that to a certain degree. But I get all of that. But what I don't get is why it always ends, it always seems that they're talking about things that are below the heart.
That
you know what I mean?
That
everything is below the heart. It's all down in the lower chakra, sex.
Oh.
Fighting. It's all down in the lower energy, not the higher aspect of the heart.
Okay, so. And I just want to, just one quick second, I also want to shout out J. Cole. I love me some J. Cole.
Speak
J.
up
Cole.
A little bit.
Again. J. Cole. I want to shout out J. Cole, too. I love me some J. Cole.
Hey, J. Hey, yeah.
I love
yes, J. Cole.
So, anyway, so the chakras of the heart, yes. There's twofold to this. As an artivist, and I look at sometimes hip hop artists who have taken the responsibility, so to speak, to tell the story, right? It depends upon what's happening on the street. What story am I telling? What have I lived? What am I seeing? Mm-hmm. Now, and if that's what you've lived, if it's authentic, and that's what you're seeing, then you're going to tell that story because that's the story you know.
No, okay. Okay.
Right? That's the story you know. Another great artist is, and excuse me if I mispronounce your name, brother, Toby Ngwali. He's from, I think, LA or out in California somewhere.
Okay. You know? I'll look him up.
Another one, telling the story, dope lyricist, but he has a higher chakra. He's going through it and has reached a certain evolution and continues to evolve. And that's the story that he tells. You should check him out. That's the story he tells. So I think it depends. I don't look like a lump, like just, you know, kind of do this broad brush stroke.
Yes.
Of saying, you know, all hip hop is like this. Or now there are others, to your point, that don't care. They just want the paper, you know? And it's just about getting the paper. And so the industry is in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
Industry says, I don't want you to be intelligent. I want you to talk about this. This is, you know, and part of that is design, you know, part of that is,
yes, of course,
design to, you know, to destroy communities, you know, it's designed. And so, but it's the system. And so some are able to break through that and still give that message and still come out there and say, I can do this because this is what I've experienced it, but I also didn't always want to be there. I have a line in a poem where I say, no child is born who says, when I grow up, I want to be a drug dealer. No child is born who says, when I grow up, I want to be a meth or a crackhead. No baby girl is born who says, when I grow up, I want to sell my body to pay for my education. The incarceration of dreams, the incarceration of dreams. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the KRS-One's, you know, that genre of poets and hip hop artists who were out there telling the other story, the mm-hmm. other people's story, that was squashed.
Yes.
Systems don't always need you to be enlightened.
That's true.
Find sometimes another path. In order to, and sometimes you have to fight for that, you know, and you step away, and sometimes other people can break through on the system and survive. I love the fact that the internet is here, and there are other, there's no reason really to sign with a company.
Yeah.
Just master this, you know, master streaming, master distribution, master all that as an independent artist and get your word out there, because then no one is, you know, you're not getting pulled on the puppet strings, you know, let them come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a mutual relationship. It's a mutual business relationship. And it's a true collaboration. It's not you need me in order to happen. It's like, no, how can we come together and make it happen for both of us? How can we be in that respectful space versus, you know, as an artist, you a dime a dozen kind of space, right?
A lot of reciprocity. I also wanted to correct something so somebody won't say me. Kennedy didn't get no Oscar. He got a Nobel Peace Prize and he got the Grammy, and I think he's up for every something this year. So he is, you know, when he first got the Nobel Peace Prize, it took me a minute, like, how did he get a Nobel Peace? You know, I was like, how did he get a Nobel Peace Prize? And then after I did a little bit of research and checked more into his background, I understood clearly and fully why they would give him a Nobel Peace Prize. He's one of the few artists that are talking in your way as a spoken word artist and speaking consciously about things that are things that trouble the society in general, not, you know, I woke up and I smelled the, you know, they're talking about sex. That's one reason, because he's not as common as the other people. To me, I'm just saying this,
mm-hmm.
A lot of those type of artists are very common, but it's uncommon to meet those artists like Kendrick, Pharrell, you know, people that have something deeper to say. Maybe their lives have caused them to be able to become so deep, become so enthralled. So fortunately, we do have them to kind of offset that and to shed more light on people like you. We're getting close to time to go. So okay. I want you to let us know where we can find more about Poet Gold, our illustrious Poet Gold, and how we can find out more about your book, where we can go to hear your iHeartRadio show with Pete. We need to know all of that.
All of that stuff. Well, the easiest way to go is to go to poetgold.com. Really easy, poetgold.com. And then all the little icons are up there. I would suggest go to Instagram, because it seems like keep the Instagram going, you know. So I would say, you know, do that. But start with the website, and then you can go to Instagram. Or you can find me just on Instagram at _poetgold_. I'm on Facebook also, but _poetgold_, or go directly to the website, poetgold.com. And that's it. Thank you so much for letting me be here. This is fantastic.
And the book is on your website. They can find out where to get the book, or they purchase it from your website.
Thank you. The book is on the website, Be the Poem Living Beyond Our Fears. And if you order directly, the book is available everywhere. But okay. If you order it directly on my website, you're helping the nonprofit. By the books, part of that proceed goes directly into Real Skills Network, which is a local after school program that went through some issues through the pandemic. And so we've been rebuilding it. We've been running the summer
program. That's good to know.
We've been running the summer program, and now we're at a space where we're hopefully moving into a new space and bringing the babies back, you know, the elementary and the middle school. And so when I put this book out, I always like to associate my work with the give back, you know, no strings, just, you know, let's make it happen. So the more books I sell through my website, the more money goes to Real Skills Network.
The nonprofit. When can we expect another book? Are you in the process of writing another book?
Well, yes, I am. Actually, I have this book with Bibiana, ironically enough, a photo and word book that we launched years ago. It's called You Are My Blue, and I wanted to put more poetry in it with her wonderful photography. And so it's a photo and word book.
I want
to finish that, and I want to do a second version of Be the Poem, which is a series, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm doing in if you get the book, you'll know what I'm talking about. But Rufus is a story in the book, means robbing you from ultimate success. It's an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, you know, just that noise in our head that we all have scientifically. Yes. Study on it. And so I cite the study and I talk about what I called Rufus. I had to give it a name for people. So Rufus, okay. An acronym, robbing you or us from ultimate success. And so the second Be the Poem will be probably focused on Rufus.
Okay, the noise. I love that. Also, before we go out and I say some other shout outs, I wanted to know, where can we find more about the Poetic Short film that you did with the award-winning director, Carol Bash? Call My People.
Right. I would say visit Carol Bash's website.
Do you know the name of her website?
I
don't think about it. It's okay. We can find out. AI is wonderful for research. And then if you got any kind of common sense, you can figure the rest out on your own.
Right. And I also have my own film. I was featuring a documentary called Be the Poem Living Beyond Our Fears based upon this book. Right now, it's not open to the public. We're only doing sort of private Q&As to make the film better because I want to submit it to the festivals, the larger festivals. And then if we get in the festival, then it's a different world. But if we don't, then it'll be opened up to the public. So I have this year to, you know, submit to Tribeca, Sundance for 2027, and we'll see what happens then. And then after that, no matter what, it will be exposed to the general public. So look out for it. Be the Poem.
We'll do that. Are you going to be on the West Coast soon, or you're on the East Coast right now? Are you touring or anything?
Well, right now we're touring primarily on the East Coast. We're trying to put together a West Coast situation, sponsors and that type of thing to be on the West Coast. Because, you know, I'd like to bring my band out there. I'd like to bring, Damon Bang, Bobby Sabella, Angel Lau, the Mavor family, the dynamic vocalist gospel group. Oh my goodness. I mean, these musicians and singers are, you can Google some of them and see who they've played with. And I'm a very lucky gal, as I said, to have them share the stage with me. I feel blessed and I'm grateful for it.
Well, you have a very attractive aura. And then, so let's again thank Poet Goal, Dutchess County Poet Laureate. We would love to have you back anytime. Before I go, I want to say shout out to Sam Hassan, my beautiful, wonderful guardian. He's like an angel for me because, you know, he is so protective of me in a lot of ways, from having a show and allowing me to, you know, make my way through and develop and learn and become like the best talk show host ever. And we want to thank him from LA Talk Radio. Want to give a shout out to all of you out there. I loke you. As I told you, one of my boyfriends, ex-boyfriend, just tell me he loked me. That means he liked me as a person, but he also loved me. So that's important, that someone likes you as a person and they love you. So I like you. I like all of you for the people you are, who you stand up for and, you know, show up for every day. And I love you for being such beautiful souls and caring hearts like this young lady here that will give her heart and try to help other people. It's not just about us all the time. It's about other people. Also, don't forget about me. I cannot do this without you. I cannot. You guys know numbers are important these days. They've never been more important. So I need you to like, share, you know, talk about it, be about it. You know, if you find some of these people that we have on here, be about that. You know, follow them, do things to support them. And on IG, I am Osiris_Munir, M-U-N-I-R _ The Painter on IG. I'm everywhere. I mean, I'm on Snapchat, Facebook, IG, everything. I'm everywhere, everything, all over the place, all at the same time. And so I want to thank all of you again for inviting us into your homes, your laptops, wherever you may be sitting, and your various locations. For all of your support and love, this is a number one year, so everything's in reset. So we get to start over. We get to do it better. For those that have done the work, you should be experiencing some very positive things. And for those who are still working at themselves, working on themselves, it's a journey. It's a journey. And we've all been there. We've all been in different parts of our journeys. And so, you know, don't feel bad if you are experiencing that you need to catch up. You're still in the dark. You don't know what's going on. Like my mother used to say, just keep living. It will all make sense to you. Okay. What? So that's been our show for today. Let's thank again our guest poet, Gold, for that beautiful poem. Don't forget her, book, Be the Poem, Living Beyond Our Fears. Don't forget to check out their show. Hanging out, what is it? Finding Out with Pete and the Poet Gold on iHeartRadio. And don't forget to go to her website, www.poetgold.com. And bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.